Let us move forward. Continuation of our dissertation. Take your document. There should be some in the back, but hopefully those of us who are regulars did not leave home without it. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 30 this morning, begin with the second paragraph. And then take your Bibles. And turn with me. Romans chapter 8. We're going to focus on verses 5 and take your pastor's pen back out and and to those that are watching, this document is available once you get to the either the audio or video section on our website. There is an icon, and when you click it, this document comes up in its entirety on page 30. And also in that section, there's, if you click on Pastor's pen, first one up in that area, the document that I have just referred to also comes up. And repeat after me. Divergent significations of eternality from temporality. Amen. So we're going to look at this, and Deacon Brother Elder Liberman is our designated reader this morning. In addition, and I know we said Pastor gets a lot before us. Amen. It takes a lot to go through the terrain that we're going through this morning. For in that fifth verse there of the eighth chapter of Romans, Paul actually outlays very succinctly the divergent significations of eternality from temporality. Also, in corroboration this morning, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now, to go where we're going this morning, you're going to have to project beyond the macrocosm of which you are situated. Macrocosm, that's our little world, where we sit, where we stay, where we work, where we live, where we... And actually, that's not where you live, but anyway, where you manifestly operate. And somehow we get blocked into a mental block of thinking that what's going on around us is the totality of what is going on. As I was conveying to the youth this morning, it's but a small dot on the scope of the essence of what life in its totality, as we consider the big picture, what is conveyed. Not only do we get locked into physicality, but we also get locked into one specific within you of physicality. We get locked in to where we are and what we see and what supposedly is around us. And of course, we've just gone through a very trying week in the nation. Amen. And the Monday, the deranged minds that set explosives in the middle of the population of those that were watching the Boston Marathon, and several people were killed, and many others were injured and maimed. And then the next day, some deranged mind mailed poison letters to some of our federal officials, the president, and some people in the Senate. Then the next day, there was this big explosion, a fertilizer plant in Texas. And again, several people killed, and many others injured, maimed and injured. So all of these things are going on, and so this has been a week of all of these events and so forth. And then said, it's easy to say, well, what in the world is going on? Well, it's our unfounded, unscriptural expectations of what's going on in the matrix, or what should go on in the matrix, that calls us to wonder in bewilderment of the things that we view and we see. And yet our scriptures tell us that's not what we're looking at. That's not what we prioritize. We're not looking at the things being seen, but what? Because things that are unseen, the spiritual versus the physical, actually defines what's happening.
All right.
What's happening is in God's word.
Right.
Yeah. The byproducts of what is reflected is what we see and we view through the news mediums. And most of it is discouraging, isn't it? And would be downright frightening, except that's not what you're looking at. And I said, well, nah, you're saying we should stick our heads in the sand like an ostrich and not look at things that's going on around the world. I said, No. It's the view of what you're looking at. We must look down upon life instead of around in life. And so, as we view these things, we are reminded from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that according to creation of God, by a saying, one saying, so that the thing that is appearing is not coming out of the seen. It's coming out of the seen. So we go back to our aphorism. Repeat after me. It's in God's saying.
It's in God's saying.
Not what we see.
Not what we see.
Now, this is the scripture that's talking.
That's right.
And speaking to our hearts. And this is the lesson to learn. We are going to abide in peace. Now, heart goes out to those that were personally affected, particularly this one family in Boston. This gentleman was running the race, and his son ran out to greet him, and on the way back, did not make it back. But even if he had made it back, the son was mortally wounded, and his daughter lost a limb, a leg, and mother pellets hit her in the head. Had to have brain surgery. One family. And of course, the question would be, why all of this happened to one family? Amen. And so, we never look for answers in the matrix. We never look in the matrix to find answers in the matrix. It is always the Word of God. God is a God of purpose. Everybody said purpose. And one of his other sons, he had one other son, quote, decided not to go at the last minute. Now, we're going to be maligned because we say all of this was prearranged in eternity. But the alternative to that is to say that there's something unbridled that is going on and no one can do anything about it. But the essence of our comprehension allows us to understand that all things were created where? In him. Whether they be thorns, dominions, principalities, whether they be visible, invisible, all things. That are what? Through him. And what? For him. Everybody said purpose. Well, I don't see how that can... Life doesn't revolve around what we can see and understand. Purpose. For all of the people that were around that explosion, some were very near it and didn't hardly get a scratch. And the little boy at the finish line, he was quite a ways away from there. Purpose. Everything touching our lives according to God's purpose. Now here's what we've got to understand. That all things reside in him. And we deal with the spirituality. Let's turn to And so, again, repeat after me, scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix. What we call life. Viewing life scripturally. Now, in the May conference, we embrace the theme, living in God's presence. And that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. Essence of God's presence transcends the microcosm. It transcends the things that are around. He is there in the sense that all things are in him. Not that he explodes and fills all space. Amen. That which is in him is a very small part of him. The entire universe is a dot in God. How big is God? So now to really qualify and quantitate things, we explore and look in the sphere of spirituality, which is the complete opposite of physicality. There are two different things altogether. Romans 8 and 5, read that first.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the fifth verse.
Mm-hmm.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Now, you got, oh my God, you got two different millions of spheres here. When he speaks of the flesh, he's talking about physicality. And when he says the spirit, many of us are lost. And we're going to deal with this in the conference. Because we don't understand what, listen to me this morning, we don't understand what spirituality is. Spirituality isn't mysticism. As we move forward, we are going into the second part as we come back in the fall. We're going into the arena of the second portion of that document that we spent 5 years on. Remember, we only went through 10 parts. We only went through 5 of them. Amen. And that is scriptural distinctions of actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. So we're going through parts 5 through 10. We went through parts 1 through 5. It took us 5 years, didn't it? But we're not in a hurry. You must understand this. If you're going to have any peace, any settlement of hearts and minds, you're going to have to internalize, interrealize what life is. That it transcends the things that are around us. Our life is not even about us. Life is not about me or you. It's about him. In fact, amen, this is Liberman Cohen some years ago. It's all about him. Not just about him, it's all about him. Amen. Another place in Romans, Paul conveys that we don't have a reason within ourselves for living. No, we live at the pleasure of God. The purpose, our purpose is not within ourselves. Our life is about what his purpose is for us. And this is why some of us, we don't understand when God takes some of us out here, amen. That purpose is fulfilled. Pastor, you cold? No. Existence is the essence of his word, and all of that is in him. And these are the things that we must understand, and this is why we must be in the right message to understand these things. I was going through those exercises this morning and showing the class why do we focus and prioritize the grace message, the grace covenant. Why are we so focused on the mystery message? Because it gives the eternal perspective and the view of life from the vantage point of which God has shined the light and given us comprehension as to who he is and what we are in him and the essence of what life is. According to him. Everybody say according to God.
According to God.
Not according to us. Alright. So you got two spheres. You've got spiritual. And spiritual is not about, as we move to that second part of our dissertation and document in the fall, we're going to we're going to use a term, relativity. Everybody say relativity. Relativity. The absolute essence, that only means what you relate to. What is used as the basis of relating. And it's according to God. God is spirit. Everybody say God is spirit. Now we understand now when we say God is spirit, because again, we're relating to ourselves. And so when we think, when we say spirit, we are also meaning basically physical. And we're trying to define spirituality through physicality. And this is how we get into mysticism. Amen. And we use terms based upon what's relative to us. So when we think spirituality in terms of physicality, now we figure we have to find a heightened echelon of physicality, and that's what spirituality is. Oh, are you all following me? Jesus. And so we come up with terms, one of which we don't use around here.
Right.
And that's what?
Supernatural.
Do you know what you're saying? Super means what? Potent. To make something more potent or powerful. And of course, natural defines itself. So now here's my flesh, and I'm going to soup it up. And I'm going to call it. Spirituality is not a feeling. As we would deal with in the conference, it's not a feeling of ecstasy. You know, people get high on a lot of things. Now, I inform emotions are certainly admirable. And we thank God many times, amen, through the knowledge of worship and prayer and praise. And amen. And all of that is in order.
Amen.
But when we convey spirituality, is the essence of God, of all things, in His decree and by His saying, according to His purpose. That's spirituality. Where everything, include all of existence, abides right now. Because as we deal, have dealt, and we shall be dealing with actualization by God's decree in eternity, that's your spirituality.
Yes.
Which is a sphere beyond where we are now. And that's not what is in any way actualized in the matrix of what we call life. Here's the great God that has made us. Have any of you ever seen Him? No. Why? Because you can't view spirituality from physicality.
Hallelujah.
And go further. You can't comprehend spirituality from physicality. Let's go to everybody, take your Bibles, and I'm going to stop and teach this morning, and of course, you know, I'm going to do some exegeting, so nobody, you know, hey, we got to come down to the nitty-gritty and really understand life in order to appreciate life.
Yeah.
It is through comprehension that we appreciate God.
Yeah.
It is through comprehension that we trust Him.
Yeah.
In spite of what we feel, in spite of what we in our lives basically encounter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
in spite of our personal experiences. Now, they can be indicators, but after you get through with your vision, your dream, your apparition, you go to the Word of God. And whatever it says, that's what it is. Because you could get caught up in the processes and miss the purpose. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Everybody got it? Amen. All right, first read from the King James. Now, I might get stuck here and we don't get any further debate. But I don't care. There's no clock that's running and say, you got to do this by this thing. When I was in school, that was a long time ago. there were classes I went to where the only thing that the teacher was really concerned with as a priority was covering all the material. But it's no use to go into page 2 if you do not have, amen, the confidence of comprehension, page 1. So we're going to stop and go through this, and we're going to exegete this passage. Now, in this third chapter of 2 Corinthians, remember, amen, starts out talking about the essence of what God's testimony in us becomes the epistle written in our hearts. And conveyed to all of those that God would give that enlightenment to. Amen. So we're the ministers of God, those of us, amen, that God has given this task. I'm not just talking about those that minister from the pulpit, but each day that you go out here, you're ministering, whether you know it or not. The essence of who you are places you in that. And basically, as he writes to them, he was explaining the difference between those of old and ministers, the prophets and the patriarchs, such as Moses and the prophets, and those who are basically looked upon in the Old Testament as the principal characters. And yet, of their involvement with God, what we know today, they never knew. They never understood. Moses never saw Calvary. They teach that Moses died looking at the world. Where is that? Where is it that Moses even saw Christ or heard of Christ? What was assigned to him, he knew and understood. And so, in that light, the fact of what we know does not distinguish us over them and make us greater than them. And basically, Paul in verse 5 said that not that we are sufficient of ourselves, because we're not. The sufficiency is of God. And he has made us able ministers. He has enabled our ministry, and of course in that verse there in the King James they got the New Testament, and of course that's in the neuter. It's a New Testament. That word testament could be agreement, could be covenant. And basically Paul here is talking about which covenant? The grace covenant. The grace covenant. And here, the difference is one, he correlates to the letter, and the other one to the spirit. And then, as far as the letter, the law, he said, "What it killeth." And I can remember some years ago, as a little boy, I used to hear that and taught. And some people get up and teach against education. Don't go to school because. Thank God for understanding. Amen. But he was talking about the difference between true spirituality and physicality, and to get to the nuts and bolts of spirituality, we must, that is, authentic, pure spirituality, we must abide in our doctrine. We must abide in the mystery message, that which was hid from ages. And so he speaks of those documents, those covenants. It's one ministration of death, and the other one is ministration of life. Yes. Amen. One engraved with stones, and of course, in the New Testament, that is given to the kingdom constituents. In the New Testament, it is written in their hearts. But here, fast forward here, he is speaking of glory and how one glory excels over the other. Here, the more you know and comprehend, the more glorious he is. As we know more about him, doesn't God get bigger in your estimation, huh?
Yes,
in your assessment,
Lord.
The less we know, the less we're able to really, really, really dwell in comprehension of his glory.
Amen.
If all God is like some people growing up, you would think that God was just about what was around us and, you know, food to eat, clothes on my feet, and healing my body. That was basically it. That was the big three. If God took care of those, amen. But he's always been more than that. And so when we get to our gospel, it teaches us the essence between the two. And so this is why all, amen, that are part of this ministry, and that will stand behind this rostrum in this pulpit. I don't even have to ask these ministers, where are you going to preach from? Not that the old scripts do not have value, but even in dealing with the old scripts, we must learn this, because when we learn this, then we go back to the old script to teach, not to learn.
Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Thank God.
Because in this, we're looking down life instead of around in life. You're looking down on your situation instead of in your situation trying to figure out what's happening. This is the essence of what this is. So as he moves through this, basically in verse 17, so now the Spirit, now the Lord is that Spirit. What Spirit is the essence of what things are. That gives us enlightenment. All light comes from him. Where there's Spirit, there's light, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there liberty, our freedom. Knowledge frees you. What's that you always say, a little woman? This gospel is a liberating gospel. You don't walk as others that don't know.
That's right. Thank God.
The more you know, the more you'll be able to appreciate life.
Hallelujah.
And when I say life, I'm speaking of the only life that is sustainable, and that's eternal life.
Yes.
And what you think about eternity, amen, sets the premises of whether Things in the matrix are going to drive you crazy and cause you to walk in fear and trepidation. In other words, what I know about eternal life, it sells me in this life. It gives me joy in this life. Everybody say eternity. Now in the 18th verse, everybody got 2 Corinthians 3:18. Yes. Long prolegomenon. I know. Long introduction. Long whatever. But we have to set the premise of where we're going here. We may even be here a couple of minutes. I look at that clock. Remember a couple of outings. But we got, this is some, as he writes to these Corinthians, because remember now, they were a fleshly people. I know they had problems and so, but when I said flesh, I mean they were physical. Everything, amen, related to physicality. Their relativity barometer was cast into physicality. To the point that they didn't understand and many today what spirituality is. And so he takes them and he juxtaposes or he compares what was ministered in the old and what transferred to the new. And he sets them in order through explication of the grace covenant. Everybody said the grace covenant. So here's what he's saying. Everybody got 3:18 of 2 Corinthians? Amen? All right, first Elder, read from the King James.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, the 18th verse, the King James translation. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord.
Now see, that's why we got X's. Keep reading.
The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Now, let's go to the interlinear Greek there, and then that's not going to be enough. We're going to do some exegesis here this morning. Nobody go crazy on me here now. What this is speaking about, as I give you a preview, is the difference between seeing, that is, knowing and not seeing, or not knowing, or comprehending and not comprehending what is before you. And the way to comprehend what is before you is to receive that which is in the spiritual realm, as defining that which is displayed or depicted in the physical realm. Are you following me?
Yeah.
No.
Thank God.
Oh, my God. Read slowly. Those of you who are watching, of course, if you don't have this, amen, just follow along whatever translation you have, those that are here. Read.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, in the interlinear Greek text translation. But we all, having been unveiled.
Brother Deacon, you got your lexicon out there, right? I know you do. Amen. Amen. We have the Greek word anakekav. Lemveno. And on a carb Lemveno. What is that, Brother Deacon? What's the perfect tense?
Completed action, ongoing result for effect.
And it's the passive voice.
Passive voice.
Now, what are we saying? Follow me closely here. That word, as they have translated here, is having been unveiled, and the next word there is prosopo, which is face. Now, Paul uses that same grammatical instruction. Remember, another place he writes to them, and he speaks about looking through a glass darkly. Actually, that word should be translated obscurely. He's talking about the different levels of comprehension. Go back to the Old Testament, and everything is enclosed in a microcosm. When they said Rome ruled the world, that was only a that was only a very, very minute part of the earth. When we say all, we say that in relativism. It's relative to all that we see, all that we know. I have a video that in teaching, I show the young people that basically from where we stand on the earth, they said our scope using 186,000 miles per second, which is the speed of light, our scope of observing, and that is through the telescope, of course, is some 93-point-some-million miles. But it says, as vast as that may seem, that is what? It's microscopic compared, or that's super small. That's super small compared to all there is. So we say all, we say that in relativism. We're saying that all that we see and all that we know. Here, as he conveys this, he is speaking about a scope of knowledge that was previously assigned. Y'all hear me this morning? Do you know more in your lifespan than Moses ever knew? You know more than Abraham knew. Let's get to some more powerful boys. David, of all of the Psalms. Now, many of the things that God conveyed to them to repeat, they didn't, according to Peter, even understand what they were talking about. And then, going down to the disciples, we know more than, no more than they knew. And even Peter, as he looks, this message of the mystery, what did he say? Brother Paul, what? He's in his epistles, he's conveying things that are hard to understand because it wasn't given to him. And as you sit here this morning and God is casting the light, you must understand just how blessed you are. Oh, how blessed you are. Have this knowledge. You got a heads up on those, many of those around you that's trying to figure out what is life about. And here we know what life is about. What is life about? It's about Him. It's about Christ. My life is about Christ. Your life is about Christ. You don't have to figure out what this is about. Your reason for living is Christ. Your vineyard on this earth is about Christ. The essence of who you are. It's about Christ. Otherwise, life will confuse you. And every time we get confused, the next thing we get depressed. And for long. But light has come. In manifestation, that was previously a sign in actualization. That's what this is saying. So that actually should read, wars and ills unveiled. What is that? The essence of spirituality and the knowledge of what things actually are according to God. Keep reading.
But we all, having been unveiled with face, the glory of Lord, beholding in a mirror.
That is reflected. In other words, he's saying, what's in manifestation being reflected, amen, you are getting the spiritual comprehension of what it is in purpose, rather than the process. Getting back to the unfortunate events as we view it this week. Why one family? Why so much tragedy in one family? Why were and at the moment it went off, you know, said, well, I was a mile from it. Why weren't you right next to it? And then why were some of those that were right next to the bomb escaped without injury? And others so far away? It's about purpose. And life, as we view it, must be viewed from the scriptures. And so comprehension here, and what he is saying is, as he writes to them, is the things that Moses viewed, they were in the macrocosm, and he had no idea in the total essence of what he was looking at. All of the things that befell. And this is why, you know, we say, oh, the move of God, victories, and so forth and so on. And of course, we're very adaptive. Going back in the Old Testament, and we talk about so-called victories. You know, we talk about children of Israel going through the Red Sea. We talk about around the walls of Jericho falling down. We talk about all of the mighty battles that, quote, they won. But as you read, there are some battles that they lost, too. They went one up on the Philistines, but at some point, they were captured by the Philistines. We talk about Daniel in the lion's den, but the Christians in the arena in the first century, instead of the lion's mouth being stopped or shut, the lions had a feast. We can't get caught up on the processes of life and stop saying, what is this? When the prevalent issue is what? What is this for? What is God's plan for this? And purpose for this? Why me, Lord? Because that is God's purpose for you. In that way, you know, look around and one person say, I feel guilty that their friend lost both legs. He said, why do you feel guilty? I was the one that talked them into going to the race. That's not why that person was there. Why was that person there? Because it was preordained for them to be there. So that's cold. So what do you make God out to be? You know, God is loving and kind and so forth. Something. If you just qualify things exclusively in the matrix,
right,
in life, many times you're not going to be pleased with God. Oh, no, you're not going to say it. You're afraid to say it. In fact, there'll be times you'll be disappointed in Him. Oh, no, you're not going to say that. But in the back of your mind, if you assess God based upon some situation, especially if it's adverse, you're disappointed. Even though you won't admit it, you're afraid to admit it. It's not about what is microscopic down to an instant in time, a moment in time. Lord, help us to see the big picture. Everybody say the big picture. Otherwise, Paul would have not would have been he did Paul. Paul would have been depressed. Yeah. You ever read his last letter to Timothy? Yeah. Did that sound like somebody depressed?
Oh.
I fought a good fight. I've been called to keep the faith. That's enough to rejoice about. And now he has enabled me to the point where I'm ready. Oh my God. They're not going to preach this.
I hear you.
Jesus said on one occasion, unless, amen, speaking of suffering, amen, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, what?
You have no part of me.
And what did they do? He said, well, I don't want any part of you. Life is about Christ, about His agenda. In the essence of what He has outlaid is His purpose for you. And what Paul is saying here is that some of us, God has prearranged for us to comprehend this in life. So that we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. He speaks of glory to glory. Keep reading that thing, man. Give me about 10 minutes and I'm going to just bail out this morning.
So with faith, having been unveiled, with faith, the glory of the Lord, beholding in a mirror.
Reflected, the glory of the Lord reflected. In other words, you're looking basically at the source. Rather than the image. Keep reading here. I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
The same image.
The alignment there. Oh my God, we don't have time. But if I could convey the Greek grammatical construction here, amen, it speaks of alignment. Alignment.
Yes.
The Greek word optin. The same image. The same optin, the same. Oh my God, hallelujah. So that when you view the thing, the image matches the source. In other words, the process matches the purpose. You can see beyond what is depicted in the process and see the purpose behind the process, and now you're able to see the glory of the Lord. Give Him a praise this morning. Oh, hallelujah. How have some idea of what this thing is about. Or what God is doing with it. Rather than what you think you're going to do with it. Why did it come or why did this happen? So now you are aligning the image with the source. Are you aligning the manifestation to draw from the actualization of what God has arranged for it? In the greatest tragedy, as we look in the mirror, we're able to see the purpose. It brings the incident into actualize authentic perspective of what God's purpose is for that. And now we know what it is. And after we get some true answers there, we're able to deal with it better. To know that nothing happens haphazardly. I got some illustrations I'm going to convey in the Bible study Wednesday night. Amen. But we think things just come out of left field. Things just happen. And no wonder many of us are basket cases. And we have no more enjoyment out of life than those that don't know Him. Because we're looking at things and we're assessing them the same way those that do not have this knowledge. But oh, thank God. Amen. And if you're sitting here this morning, some of this is getting through to you. Amen. It's because God has previously arranged it. All right, finish that up.
The same image are being changed from glory to glory, even as from Lord's
so
Spirit.
So in manifestation, it glows from glory to glory. Now we deal with this word here, katapur, which is translated here even as. Here now we're dealing with relativity. How things relate, even as what? From the Lord, from Spirit. The spiritual aspect, actuality from the Lord, what this thing really is. All right, let me stop in. Something happens to you. And you go, wow, I was praying for something else. Then I go pray again. Instead of it getting better, it seems to get worse. What's missing? What's missing? God's purpose. And the thing that I think is against me is for me. You know, sometimes we read scriptures and we just scratch our head and say, this doesn't make sense to me. You know, in everything do what? Give thanks. Because what? In Christ Jesus concerning you. That what I just went through was the will of God. No, that couldn't mean that. There's not this. No way would God have anything to do with that. You know why? Because we're in the little microcosm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about what God's use is for that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, when Joseph is, they said, brother said, we're sorry, because they were afraid. They, you know, whether they were sorry or not, that remains to be debated, but they were afraid. And he said, hey guys, don't sweat it. Mm-hmm. You meant your design. Mm-hmm. And as that thing looked to me even for a while in the matrix,
it
was evil. But God's design was what?
It was good.
It was good. The glory. God got the glory out of that.
Sure did. Glory.
So don't sweat Lieberman's advice. And what you said, go to bed. Turn the lights out.
Glory God.
Go to sleep. Because God's purpose for it is good. If you get out of the microcosm. If you expand it to the totality of who is and what is and who you are in Him, oh my God, and the essence of that from eternity, He placed you in Him. Oh my God, that thing is for good. And so that's what this is saying. All right. I know I said 5 minutes. Give me five more. Let's go to page 30. Now, I want to go through portions of this paragraph, not the entire part. You know, I couldn't leave you hanging like they used to do when I was a little boy to go through the show and the chapter pictures. Amen. And I still may leave you hanging partially, but not completely. Romans 8, and that should be 5. Mark that up for those that are watching. That should be Romans 8, 5. That's my bad. That's the typist. For those being according in relativity to the flesh, they consider or they relate things that belong to the flesh are physicality. Those according to the Spirit, in relativity to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we're going to view things in physicality and spirituality. Well, I'm looking at this. How can I view this in spirituality? Through the exercise that we have conveyed to you this morning. Seeing things according or receiving things according to God's saying rather than your what? Your seeing. This verse conveys emphatically differentiation of the influential mediums that charter opposing conceptions. Follow this. What? Where? How? And I didn't put it in here, but I also said and when. Things are structured in ontologism, that is, in existence, a being. Thus, the conversely opposite mediums, that is, according to the flesh, that is, materiality, and the spirit, that is, God's saying, they distinguish, and we'll close here today, undas. Undas is rendered being. What is being is in characterizations of their respectively individualized locale. We'll stop today. But what were they saying? What that thing is depends upon your medium of viewing it. If you view that thing strictly in physicality, it's probably something very bleak. We view the same thing in spirituality, and it's glorious.
Amen.
The essence of life is Him, what He has and what He has done, and what He has accomplished, and my place in Him. And the essence of my life is joy and peace and happiness and serenity. Oh my God. But it depends upon where you're looking. You look from the standpoint and make it relative to you. Amen. There's death and destruction. And that's what he says in that verse 5 there. As it goes to verse 6 there in that Romans chapter 8. One leads to what? Destruction. And death. Another one leads to what?
Life.
Everybody say life. Don't you want to enjoy life? Let's move out of the realm of physicality into the excellence.
Yes.
Oh my God, in the excellence. Oh, in the excellence.
Hallelujah.
of the echelon of spirituality. Give God a praise. Give God a... Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.